You're listening to the Emotional Abuse Recovery Podcast, episode number 7. So we all know there's no magic wand that we can wave over ourselves and create instant happiness. There's no magic pill either that we can take. This isn't an instant solution, but we all know that happiness is something that we strive for. Happiness is something we all need more of in our lives, and we want to create it for ourselves. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. In this episode today, I'm going to be talking to you about the things that you can do right now to begin creating your own happiness after a toxic relationship. So, if you're someone who has experienced emotional abuse or narcissistic abuse or any sort of toxicity in your life that's left you feeling anything but happy, then stay tuned because in this episode, I'm going to give you my 4 best tips to create your own happiness after a toxic relationship. Welcome to the Emotional Abuse Recovery Podcast, a podcast specifically designed to help you heal after a toxic or narcissistic relationship. This podcast teaches you to use your subconscious mind to go from feeling stuck to set free. In here, you will learn how to use the power of your own mind to free yourself from emotional pain, move forward with confidence, and experience the inner peace you deserve in your healing journey after emotional abuse. I'm your host and subconscious reprogramming coach, Allison Dagny. So let's get started. Okay, so I am just going to dive right in because I realize that most of us just want to feel better and happier as fast as possible. You've probably even heard this phrase before. Happiness is an inside job, and it really is. But I realize that many of us have these thoughts that we would just be happier if. And that if is followed up by things like, if he would just be nicer, if she would just stop annoying me. If you have had these thoughts or thoughts like these, I completely understand because I have been there too. I remember right after I left my abusive marriage and being triggered by my ex. I remember how the people I used to think were my friends were doing all kinds of things that real friends would never do, and I was being set off by that. They were playing the fence or believing my abuser or talking about my personal life behind my back, and these kinds of things were just really upsetting. There was just so much stuff happening that I was feeling emotional about and then reacting to. And I remember not feeling happy at all. Anything but happy. I remember having these emotional reactions. And if you read my book, you might remember the part when I was separated from my husband, but I went on a shopping rampage. And basically, I was charging all kinds of things on our joint credit cards because my ex was so concerned about money and he was financially abusive. I felt like that was my way of punishing him. I was overcome with rage. I was consumed with hatred and revenge. And this was all before I learned about happiness is an inside job, as I said before. So if you feel like you're being held hostage by your emotions or that you can't control yourself or your reactions because of how you feel, I have to tell you, there is nothing wrong with you. This doesn't mean you'll have to live the rest of your life this way. If you don't want to feel this way, you can absolutely change it. And that's what I'm going to do in today's episode is I'm going to give you my 4 best tips to creating your own happiness after a toxic relationship. And the part I want you to remember and pay attention to is creating your own happiness because it comes from inside of you. So if you're not driving or out on a walk and you have a piece of paper and a pen available, it would probably be a good idea to get it out now so you can take some notes and leave this episode with some actionable steps to put in place right away. The first thing that is important to do when we're trying to create our own happiness is to be present. I know, everybody says, oh, just don't think about the past and don't worry about the future because you can't control it. And I have said this too, but what a lot of people don't know how to do is be present. Most people don't really understand what it means to actually be present. Being present isn't just about paying attention. Yes, that's a huge part of it, but it goes way deeper than that. Being present involves mindful and intentional effort to experience what is going on within you inside your body and around you all at the same time, right? So I know that might sound really complex, but it really isn't. One of my all-time favorite books is by the author Eckhart Tolle, and it is called The Power of Now. If you're struggling with being present, I highly recommend getting this book. This book dives deep into being present. The author talks about how you can actually be present in several different ways. One of the ways is to really get in tune with your body. So our bodies are just made of energy. We're full of energy and full of life. And if you sat really still in a room, you could actually feel, if you're being really present in your body, tingling in your hands or vibrations around your feet. You could sense the movement of your chest from your breathing. There's a lot going on inside our bodies. Our blood is pumping, our lungs are breathing in oxygen. So you might be able to sense the beating of your heart in your chest or in other parts of your body as the blood goes through your veins. You might even feel grumbling because you have digestion happening in your stomach. Paying attention to your body can be a really, really easy step for you to take to start being present with just a little bit of time. I mean, it doesn't even take very long. You can sit with yourself for a few minutes and start to be present in your body. And what you might be asking now is, well, how does being present help me be happier? And I want you to know that when we're living in the past, or we're living in the future and we're not living in the present, we're focused on other things that could be causing us pain and suffering. Things that happened a long time ago or in our past that is painful, or things that we are fearing about might happen in the future. So if we're living in the past or the future, we can't truly be present because we're feeling those same emotions that are tied to the past memories or to the fears of the future. So the only real moment in time we have is in the present moment. If we're stressing about what might happen in the future, and if we're reflecting on what should have happened in the past or how things happened in the past or why they did, then we can't be fully present and experience the true peace that comes with that. Another way that you can be really present is to deepen your listening skills. I've really had to work on this over the years because for me, it was waiting to respond. I wasn't able to literally hear what people were saying because I was so concerned about what I was going to say next. And this is a skill. It's true that most people want to be heard, right? Everybody wants to tell their stories and be heard and feel understood. I want to be heard. You want to be heard. Most of us just want someone to listen to us. However, if you want to be more present, then deep listening to other people is one really, really good way to do that. When you're not focused on what you want to say next, like I used to be, and when you're just fully focused on what the other person is saying and just trying to truly understand them and listen to them, you become fully present in the moment. This is something you can practice with anyone. You can practice it at the grocery store with a checkout clerk or with your children when you're driving in the car and they come home from school and they're talking to you. You can practice it with your friends or family members. And not only does this help you become present, it helps you connect on a deeper level to the people you love and even people you meet, which gives you a deep sense of happiness. If you don't believe me about this, just give it a try. Like, just set aside some time during the day today to say, I'm just going to really try that deep listening to the next person I speak to, if it's over the phone or if it's in person, and just see what happens when you fully listen to what other people have to say instead of waiting for an opportunity to interject your opinions or to talk about yourself. This could be really, really enlightening. At least it was for me. All right, so the next thing you can do to be present is to use your senses. And I'm talking about all five senses. So we may not be able to use them all at one time, but we can certainly try to use them and bring them into our awareness a lot more. So these are your taste, sight, sound, scent, and touch. And you can practice using your senses in any part of your life. So if you're taking a walk, you can notice the things around you, like the flowers or the trees blowing in the wind or the dog running in the backyard at the neighbor's house. The houses and the green lawns of your neighbors, you could potentially be bringing in those scents of fresh cut grass or someone grilling out in their backyard. The point of this exercise is to bring you back to the present. If you're focused on things that your five senses can recognize, then you will be pulled back into the present moment. It's harder to think about the past or the future if you are focused on what's happening right now. And those senses kind of help amplify that for you, and then you can be more present in that particular moment. The other thing is, in the present, we find a lot of things to be grateful for, and we all know that gratitude raises our level of vibration and makes us happier. It's true that holding feelings of gratitude inside of us for even just a few minutes a day, they've done studies on this, that can actually change how you feel. And using your senses to be present can help you do this. So when you're using your senses, hold some thoughts of gratitude. So if you smell the flowers on the walk, then hold gratitude that you have the appreciation that you're able to smell it. If you can see a beautiful sunrise or a beautiful sunset, hold that gratitude that you have the ability to see and take in the beauty of what it is. That is where we raise our vibration of happiness, by bringing in that gratitude in the moment while we are using our senses at the same time. Okay, so the next thing that you can do to really raise your level of happiness and create more happiness in your life is to check in with your complaining. So what I mean by this is that everybody has complaints of some sort or another. There are always things that don't go our way, and there are always people that maybe don't do what we think they should do. But when we complain about it, about whatever that might be, we actually change that vibration inside of our bodies, which then causes us to feel less happy. And you can probably relate to this. So like if somebody does something that you disagree with or that you're, you know, not on board with or isn't what you thought should be, you start to feel differently. So it's really important to take inventory of how we behave. And if we're constantly showing up in a world as a complainer, we will feel unhappy most of the time. So what you can do is you can start paying attention to the things that you say out loud to other people, or maybe even internally to yourself. And then in what ways are you creating negative and painful feelings inside of yourself just by based on what you're saying? So pay attention to that. Do you constantly feel frustrated and you call up your friends to let them know? Are you annoyed by the things that pop up on social media and complain about it? Are you looking for commiseration from other people? This is normal. People do this. This is how we're wired. It helps us create connection with others, but it also can keep us in a state of low vibration and unhappiness. And I say this with so much compassion and so much understanding. Reaching out for commiseration from other people will keep you in a state of unhappiness. So in order to change this, we have to be aware of the habits that we have. Look for ways in which you can stop complaining. Catch yourself in the moment and find a way to turn it into something else. If you can't turn it into something else, then don't speak it out loud. Most of the time, if we don't speak it out or type it out, we don't live in that chaos. We don't let that chaos fester, and then it begins to die. So we're not letting the complaints and the chaos continue to live by complaining to other people or complaining to yourself. It cannot grow. It cannot become larger or bigger or all-consuming if we don't give it any of that power, if we don't give it any attention, or if we don't give it life. And we are the ones that give it life. I would bet that if most people woke up in the morning and started to track the number of times a day that they complain, that they'd be absolutely shocked by how high that number really is. I had an old friend, and I want to tell you a story, because I used to refer to this person as an emotional vampire. I called my friend this because she complained nonstop. Every conversation we had was about things that she was unhappy with. And a lot of the times she would attempt to get me involved in the complaining. And for a really long time, I did get involved until one day I realized that I was feeding this monster. And I was feeding the drama and I was feeding the chaos. And so it never ended because it kept growing and getting bigger and bigger. If she complained about something, I could just tell her I was sorry and, you know, say, you know, I really wish that didn't happen to you. But she would ask me what my opinion was or what I thought about it or if I thought she was being unreasonable. She was opening the conversation so that I would participate in the complaining with her. And I recognized this and I realized that I was getting into this really toxic cycle and it was lowering my level of happiness. I wasn't happy engaging in these types of conversations. And you know, they say misery loves company. And that's exactly what was happening. She was feeling miserable about the things she needed and wanted me to commiserate with her. But over time, I was just feeling drained and I didn't want to have these conversations anymore. I was trying to raise my level of happiness, but every conversation I had with her was lowering it. And this is something that you can easily change if you're one of those people who find yourself complaining. Now, here's something I want to say, and this is important if you do this. It's not because there's something wrong with you. It's simply because of how your mind is wired. There is a reason, and often with good intention, why people do this. A lot of times, it makes them feel better. It gives them something inside of themselves that their brain perceives to be positive. But it ends up being this vicious cycle because the constant complaining lowers that vibration within them and keeps them from feeling happy. So the flip side of this is to check in with those around you who complain. So if you've decided that I'm not really a complainer, but I still want to raise my happiness and create more of it, so how do I do that? What you want to do is check in with your company, check in with things that you watch on social media and on TV, and that what you listen to on the radio isn't complaining. Are you allowing things into your mind and into your heart that are causing you to feel bad or causing you to feel good? This is important. We have to pay attention to this. A lot of times we just get into these habits of listening to certain things or, you know, having conversations with certain types of people. And we take for granted what it is and we don't really think about it consciously. So are the things that you listen to inspiring you? Are they giving you hope or are they just creating negativity? Are they making you want to fight with people and argue, or are they creating some sort of internal conflict? And after you take this inventory, and these could also be, like I said before, people in your lives, determine how you can set boundaries with yourself and with others. You might have to set boundaries like switching to a different radio station that's more uplifting. Maybe you follow this one Instagram account because you like them, but you notice that they're always having some sort of negative bad mouthing towards others, and maybe you decide you don't want to follow that person anymore. Maybe you would start listening to a different type of podcast that adds value to your life instead of one that causes you to be upset all the time. You could switch off the reality TV shows that aren't adding to your life or your level of happiness. But maybe they are. If you really like reality TV shows and it makes you happy, then that's fine. I'm just saying there might be things that if you take inventory of and really start to inspect and scrutinize, you might realize they're not really helping you be happier. If they are, then that's great. Keep those types of things in your life and get rid of the rest. So the next thing that you can do to start creating more of your own happiness after a toxic relationship is to start accepting reality for what it is. And this is a really tough one for a lot of people. And I'm going to do my best to explain this because most of us have very strong ingrained belief systems about how things should be. But I want to remind you when I say this, and if you've listened to this podcast for any amount of time, that a belief is only a thought about something that is not true 100% of the time for 100% of people. And pretty much if you think about it, that's almost everything. So how can you start accepting reality for what it is? And I want to make sure that I'm really clear here. Reality is reality. And we don't have to agree with the things that we see happening in our lives. We don't have to think that they're good or think that they're bad just because it is reality. All that we're doing is we are acknowledging that the things outside of us are not in our control, period. Sure, we can influence, we can show up in ways that might make people change their minds or change their opinions, but the purpose of what I'm telling you is if we can accept that reality is reality with no judgment, then we would find more happiness. So it's going to be really important to distinguish the difference between accepting reality and agreeing with it, because they are two totally separate things. We do not have to agree with the things that we see or the things that happen outside of us. But in order to experience a different level of peace or happiness, we have to understand and come to the acceptance that no matter what, we can't change what happens outside of us. We can't change someone else's belief systems. We can't change someone else's behaviors. We can only change how we respond to those things. And that's where the power comes from. So I want to make sure it's really clear that accepting reality doesn't mean we are okay with it or that we agree with it. It just means we understand and recognize that reality is reality, that things are going to happen no matter what, that people are going to have different beliefs and people are going to do and behave in ways that we don't agree with. But that is the reality. And there are ways that we can rewire our thinking so that we can become in an acceptance and stop fighting reality. Because the more we can accept reality for what it is and stop trying to wish it differently, then we can actually feel much happier. So if you're asking me, oh, well, am I supposed to just accept it when someone treats me bad or if someone abuses me or does something that's wrong? Am I supposed to just accept it? And my answer is absolutely not. We are still able to make choices in our lives. We are still able to say no and hold boundaries and walk away or start a domestic violence shelter or write a book. But what we aren't able to do is control what has already happened or control other people. And that is the reality. And the harder we fight reality, the less happier we will be. So I don't want you to get confused, because we can still influence the circumstances and the people around us. When there are injustices in the world and things that we're not okay with, we can show up to try to change those things. And that's a wonderful thing, because we've had a lot of positive changes in the world because of people who have come forth with influence and action. But here's the really important part of this. If you're not willing to make changes or to step up with influence around you, yet you still expect or wish or hope for things to change, you will continue to suffer. And suffering is not happiness. So more than anything, in this particular tip that I've given you, accepting reality for what it is does not mean agreeing with it. All it means is that you recognize and you acknowledge that those things around you, outside of you, that you have no control over, well, that's just the reality. And I'd like to share a little example with you that is really simple, but probably most people could relate to. So when I am at home and I am winding down for the evening and I want to get a bath and I want to read a book and get really relaxed, I turn on the water, I put my essential oils in the tub and get my towel ready and my book and hop right into the water. And as I'm just starting to relax, I can hear a dog begin to bark. So before I knew how to do the work that I do and the rapid reprogramming to change the way that you think, which would then change the way that you feel, I would have been really angry, really frustrated, wouldn't have been able to focus on what my book was about, I wouldn't have been able to relax, And what I ended up doing was I started to get into my thoughts a little bit more about the things that were going through my mind. And some of those things were like, that dog shouldn't be barking, and the neighbors shouldn't let their dogs sit outside and bark for, 20 minutes at a time. And so I started to have all of these, intrusive thoughts come up in my mind, which were keeping me in a state of anger and frustration. I was trying to relax. I was trying to have a really peaceful time, and it just was seeming to be impossible in the moment. But what I realized was, when I started to question those thoughts, was, well, dogs do bark. That's what dogs are supposed to do. And dogs are supposed to protect their, territories. If they see someone walking or another animal, or maybe it wants to come inside, I started to think about all these different possibilities. What else was possible? And as I started to question the thoughts, people shouldn't leave their dogs outside, I started to think, well, maybe these people should need to. Maybe there's a reason that they had to do that. And what happened was, I started to slowly feel lighter. I started to feel differently. And I was able to concentrate on my book. I was able to relax in the bath, because I realized that this is the reality. I can't change it. I couldn't do anything about what was going on outside. I couldn't make the dog stop barking. And that was so important, because if I hadn't done that, I would have allowed something that was reality to ruin my night, essentially. And I just didn't want that to happen. And so I was able to release the thoughts that were keeping me in that state of anger and state of frustration, while still being able to concentrate and relax. And this is so important. But I have to tell you, it does take practice. And it's not something that typically comes naturally or easy for people, because we're not used to thinking of our thoughts and then changing and challenging how we think. So if you can get into the habit of starting to accept reality — doesn't mean you have to agree with it, but if you can get into the habit of accepting it, you will be able to start creating a lot more happiness. Okay, so the next thing that you can do to start creating more of your own happiness after a toxic relationship is to start letting go of control. And this one sort of goes along with the acceptance of reality that we just talked about, but it is a little bit different, and here's how. If you're like most people and you ever feel fear and anxiety, getting control of the situation is one way that we think we can remove that fear and anxiety. If we could just control what happens, then we won't have to be afraid and we won't have to have that fear and anxiety come up. So let me give you an example. When I was first divorced from my ex, navigating divorce with kids was so challenging. I had my own parenting style, and he had his own parenting style, and I had my preferences for medical decisions, and he had his own different preferences for medical decisions. There were some things that we agreed on, but there were a lot of things we did not agree on. And here's the thing. We shared 50-50 custody. So when my kids went to his house, his rules would apply. And when they're at my house, then my rules would apply. And I found myself wanting to control what was happening over at his house. I found myself struggling because I had no control over anything that happened over there. I believed he should be parenting them how I would be parenting them. And I wanted him to care for them the way that I care for them. So even though I had these expectations and I felt like that they should be happening like that, it wasn't until I realized that I absolutely had no control over what happened at his house on his parenting time when it came to his decisions and, doing general things for our children, that I realized that this was really the source of my struggle. Now, I'm not talking about abuse here, because if your children are being abused, then you should definitely get in touch with your attorney and call law enforcement and get all of that stuff under control. But I realized, for me, it were things that I didn't have control over that I had to come to the understanding and realization about. when I did realize this, that reality was going to go on being reality no matter what I did or what I hoped for or what I could give up control over or the need for control over, and then I could become a happier mom. And then what happened was I just did what I wanted to do at my house for my kids on my time. And then I was able to be happier with them and be present with them as I did that. Even just the thought of trying to control what happens at his house was keeping me in a state of anger and frustration. And it wasn't allowing any room for happiness for me. So what do? You focus on what you do have control over. Instead of looking outside of yourself, look back inside yourself and ask, what do I have control over? And you can do this for any situation in your life. All you have to do is remember that you are only able to control your actions, your words, and your thoughts. And acknowledge that trying to change other people or just having the inner need or desire or want for those people to be different is actually just starving you of your own happiness. True happiness comes when we have no expectations of others. We know they are who they are because of their own unique programming, and we have no power to change them. When we focus on ourselves and what we actually have control over instead, then that's when we become empowered and overall a lot happier. Okay, so just to recap, a few of the things that you can do. Number one is be present. Check in with yourself, check in with your body, use your senses. And don't forget about that book I mentioned earlier because it was really, really helpful by Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now. Okay, the next thing was to check in on your complaining and other people's complaining around you. That includes people, it includes what you watch and what you listen to. This is important. The next one was start accepting reality for what it is. And remember, you don't have to agree with it, but reality is always going to be reality. And the last one was to let go of control. Only what you can control in your own world is where the focus should be. Sure, we can influence other people. We can do things only in our control. We cannot keep trying to control what goes on outside of us. Because the more we resist reality and the more we try to control what is out of our control, the more that we suffer. I'd love for you to try some of these things out and let me know. Send me a DM or send me a message on Instagram. I'd love to know if you're starting to feel happier when you start implementing some of these tools. To work with me on a deeper level for rapid reprogramming, click the link in the show notes below and schedule a free clarity call with me today. Thank you for being here with me today in the Emotional Abuse Recovery Podcast. I hope you found value here with me. If this podcast episode was helpful to you, I'd love for you to hit subscribe and leave me a review. My goal is to help you go from feeling stuck to set free. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook, and you can check out whentearsleavescars.com for more resources and information to help you with your own emotional abuse recovery. Until next time, here's to believing in